Morning, everybody. My name is Daniel. This is my beautiful wife, Christy. And we're really happy to be here. Thanks, Barry, and thanks to you guys for opening the doors to us. We're always excited to share with you. It's been a while. I don't know if that's a sign of anything good or bad, but it's been a little too long, Barry. No, just kidding. We're just excited. We're from Merville. I grew up in Alberta. We moved to Black Creek about 5 years ago and recently moved to Merville. And we're excited about being here on the beautiful island. How many are excited about the island? Yes. Summer is upon us. Summer is good. And we're enjoying it a lot. So I just want to jump right in here. I want to share with you guys a couple of passages. Does anyone have a Bible, an iPhone, smartphone, tablet, anything? Just to open up to a couple of verses. And there are two verses that have to do with the question I have to ask you today. And that question is, what is on your heart? What is on your heart today? What is on your heart for tomorrow, for your future? Because the Bible teaches us that whether we focus on the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world, God will give us the desires of our hearts. And so I want to ask you that question today. What is on your heart? So the first one I want you to turn to or write down just so you can reference it later is Psalm 37, verse 4. And this is a verse that I've taken as a life verse. It's something you could live your whole life off of if you wanted to. We know that the Word of God is living and active. And for me, this has been an active and alive verse that has just really influenced me throughout my life. And so it's Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I'm going to share a little bit more about that verse later, but I want to build a bit of a context using another verse, which you can also maybe leaf to, and that's Romans 1, verse 24. Romans 1, 24. And throughout that chapter, we'll be reading a bit. So in the context of this chapter in Romans 1, starting with verse 24, Paul's talking about the sin and the godlessness, the lawlessness of the time. And he says, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. And he goes on and goes and talks about the impurity and the degrading of their bodies and a lot of the terrible things that were happening. And I just want to read that main part of the verse. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. And starting at verse 28, it says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do... Oh, you all right? So that they do what ought not to be done. Verse 29. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, and no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So it says that God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts. And this is in contrast to the first verse we read in Psalms where it says, he gave you the desires of your heart if you delight in him. And to me, those are two very interesting and conflicting passages. One is, delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. The other one, if you kind of take a bit of a translation with me on the one from Romans, it's almost like saying, delight in the world, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So delight in the Lord, delight in the world. So those are the two contrasts I want to paint for you today. I don't know about you, but I get a little more excited about the first one, the delighting in the Lord. Anybody? The one in Romans talks about being given over to our sinful desires and passions, but I hunger to see my heart transformed, the desires of God to flow through me, to live in me. And this morning, I just want to encourage you that the things that are in you when you become a believer, when you look to Jesus, the desires of your heart are transformed. The things that you think about, dream about, they are changed because of Christ, because he lives in you. So I want to talk a little bit about this word passion. And it was referenced in Romans there that he gave them over to their sinful passions. And when I think about the other verse about delighting in the Lord and the desires of our hearts, I think about the word passion because God spoke to me a lot about that word. And I just want to share about that with you. I really believe passion is where the life is, the inspiration and the joy, and that God calls us to live in our passion. And so I want to encourage and just stir the pot of your passion today that God wants to breathe on the passions of your heart. He wants to breathe on the destiny of your life and the dreams that you have in your heart. And he's not interested in us just kind of getting by. How many know that God wants you to live and thrive and have joy and have life and bring his kingdom to this world? So he's excited about breathing on your passions today. And he's really good at that. You know, when I think about the creation and Adam, God sculpted him out of the ground. It's a beautiful picture of the artist God creating a perfect, beautiful man, Adam, sculpting him, molding him, shaping him. You notice that all the rest of the creation, he spoke, let there be light, let there be grass on the ground, let everything come forth, let it come to life. But when it came to man, his greatest creation, he got down, he got dirty into the clay in the ground, and he sculpted him out of the earth. And then he breathed the spirit of life into Adam. And when he breathed into Adam, he became a living being. And I just believe God wants to do that today. He wants to breathe into us and bring to life maybe things that are dormant or maybe even dead. But he wants to breathe today, and his spirit is a life giver. So I was reflecting on this word passion after Easter. My wife and I watched The Passion of the Christ. And how many know that that word, when you go back to its original context, comes from the word suffering? So it's really talking about the suffering of the Christ. And how many know that we like passion, the word passion in our culture, but we don't really like the word suffering, do we? But if you really pursue your passion, I want to tell you that the suffering in your life will be bearable. That if you pursue the passion God's put in your heart, even the suffering you will face will be bearable. But if you're not in your passion, it's totally unbearable. So what's the point? What's the point in not living your passion if you're going to face suffering whether you pursue it or not? Then why not pursue it in the midst of the passion God's put in your heart, where his spirit makes any of the opposition or suffering bearable, but he also gives you the gifts and the tactics to defeat the enemy that you face? And so I was reflecting on that word, suffering of Christ. And isn't it amazing that it's because Christ suffered that we can live our passion? It's because Christ faced the cross that we can live in freedom, that we have victory. And so if you have your Bibles, I just want to turn to Isaiah 53. And it's my favorite passage in Scripture, which is a bold statement because it's all God-breathed, as we know. But I love Isaiah 53, which speaks of Jesus years and years before he came to earth. And I just want to read that section about the suffering of Jesus, because it's an incredible, incredible thing that he suffered so that we could live in freedom. Starting at, actually, 52, Isaiah 52, verse 13. "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." It says in verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Amen. It actually, this is one of those scriptures where if you really read it and you really take it in, it's totally mind-blowing. The creator of the universe, Jesus, you know, it says in Colossians and also in other parts of Scripture that all of creation was made for Jesus. It says that all of creation was made for him and made through him. So everything we see, everything we taste, everything we touch, on some level it came through Jesus. Think about that for a second. Just look around you, take in some of the things in here, look at the people around you. Everything you see was created for Jesus and through Jesus. And this Jesus comes to earth, and his appearance was so disfigured by the bludgeoning and the punching and the beating and the scarring and the whipping that he was not even recognizable as a man. The creator of the universe humbles himself, and it's an amazing thing, because it was God's will to crush him. It says it was God's will to crush him and make him suffer so that we could live our passion, so that we could live in freedom, so that we could live with a future and a destiny. And it's just an amazing, amazing gift to know what Jesus did in his suffering. But I want to remind you that, again, if we live the passion, which again is rooted in that word suffering, that if we live in that passion, the suffering becomes bearable. The suffering that we might face, even as we face opposition in this world, that God will give us the strength. He gives us the vision and the strength that we need to overcome it. As I was just preparing for this in my hammock in Merville, I was kind of just rocking back and forth there, and it was a pretty good, you know, thinking some people get to do this for a living, sit in hammocks and write sermons. no, it's just not that simple. Yeah, that's why God gave us the smartphone, I guess, and sit there. And you know. Anyways, I was in my hammock, which was great. I had some worship music on. And I just felt like God just kind of put it on hold, put it on pause. And I was reflecting on this, the suffering of Jesus. And I felt like this is what God wanted you to hear this morning. You are the passion of Jesus' heart. Think about that, because it's not something to just fly over. The King of all that was and all that is and all that ever will be says you are his passion. He went through suffering so you could sit with him in heavenly places. Literally went through hell so you can go to heaven and live in heaven today. He did it for you. And we live in a self-esteem, self-worth, self-insecure culture. But how much does that truth attack those things that are weak in us, that he made us his passion? If you just believe in him, the strength that holds the universe in place, Christ, brings you into himself, and you live a new life, a new creation. It says later in Isaiah, he carried the sins of many. And if you simply want to be among the many, you just believe in him. Isn't it just, it's almost too good to be true, isn't it? But it's true. Is that you just believe. I love that part in the scripture when the disciples are talking to Jesus and he's getting questioned and they're trying to trap him and they are trying to send him to an early appearance at the cross. And he is asked, what is the work of God? You know, because, I mean, we love religion in our culture. We love to do stuff. And a lot of that stuff is good, but if it's not coming from the right place, it can distract us. And they're saying, what is the work of God? And he says, the work of God is to believe in the one he sent. The work of God is to simply believe in Jesus. And at the end of the day, the world's problem is rooted, you know, we have a sin problem, but we need to see Jesus. And so everyone in the streets, I mean, taking it to the streets of Campbell River, taking it to our community, they need to see Jesus. They need to know that he suffered for them, that he tells each one of us that we are the passion of his heart. So, just speaking about the passion is connected in some way to suffering, and so I wanted to just ask you the question, do you know the passion of your heart? And one of the ways that you can discover what the passion of your heart is to say, okay, what makes my heart beat faster? What makes me excited? What makes me zone in? What makes me kind of light up inside? And a lot of times, if you haven't found that yet, how many here, just taking a quick poll, how many know what their passion is in life? That's awesome. That's really close to half of you. The rest of you just didn't put up your hand, or you maybe don't know yet. But one of the ways to find your passion is to ask yourself, what makes me angry? One of the things that makes me really angry is human trafficking and people that have their freedom stolen away from them. I think that there's this reality is that you either live your dream or you live somebody else's. So you're either going to live the dream that God put in your heart, or you're going to live someone else's to make them feel better, or to maybe take what your parents gave you and try to fulfill their destiny. And, you know, a lot of times we don't pursue the dream that God put in our heart. And I want to challenge that this morning, because God has given each and every one of us, just as he created Adam unique and breathed his spirit into him, he's made every single one of us unique and given us a passion in our hearts. So what makes your heart beat faster? What makes you angry? Is it some injustice in the world? Is it abortion? Is it crime? Is it human trafficking? Is it something wrong with the education system or the healthcare system or some area that you see needs to be transformed? So that's one way to look and to try to find your passion. For me, this was a great segue was planned here. I was going to show you a trailer from a feature film that we're producing, but it didn't get through the screening process to get approval. But that's because it has really heavy content. The film that we're doing right now, my brothers and I run a studio called Unveil Studios, and we're doing a film called She Has a Name, and it's a story about a 15-year-old girl forced into human slavery. And it's a really, really heavy story, but it's based on true events. And if you're interested, I'd love to grab your email later or something and share that with you, because I think it could really inspire even some action in this whole sphere of human trafficking, which is just absolutely running rampant in the world. And this is one of the things that I realized in this journey is it's taken 5 years to create this film. And thanks be to God that filmmaking is my passion, because along that 5 years, it has been very difficult, and there's been opposition and even suffering, but it's all been bearable because that is my passion, to travel the world and make films is the thing that God spoke to me, was the desire of my heart, was my passion. And so what's amazing is as we've gone through that journey, and it's been a faith journey, and it's been a time that we just needed to bring people together, and my wife's encouraged me all the way, and it's just been an amazing team that's been formed, and that suffering has been bearable because we had a vision and we saw it through. And so I'm just thankful that we didn't do a story that I wasn't passionate about, because 5 years would have felt wasted if that were the case. So that's another thing, is we want to choose the things that we're passionate about so that we can live and thrive and have joy throughout the process and the journey. And so here's just comparing those two verses again from Romans and Psalms. Either suffering leads you to your true passion, or worldly passion leads you to true suffering. Either suffering leads you to your true passion, or worldly passion leads you to true suffering. And your passion, that thing that makes your heart beat faster, leads you to that desire of your heart. So what is the desire of your heart? What's on your heart? I asked that question, and one of the things when I studied Psalm 37:4 was I wanted God to just kind of clarify to me, how do I delight myself in you? It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And when I studied that, the word delight, this is very interesting, it is from the root word Eden. So it's essentially saying, Eden yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, how many know Eden was a place of rest, a place where the work was without toil, a place where God himself walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden? And so to me, that's a pretty refreshing promise, is that if I just rest in the Lord, if I just, I mean, he's the most amazing being in the universe. He created it. He's the most fascinating person in the universe. He's the most mysterious person in the universe, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he says, delight in me, rest in me, Eden in me. That's pretty easy to do if you think about it. The most amazing, like, think about it. You have kids or you have something in your life that you love, and you can take delight in that. We have a kitten. We delight in that little kitten because it's so easy to love it. It's like it does crazy stuff, and the next minute it's sleeping on your chest, and then the next minute it hits a window, and it's easy to enjoy that kitten, you know? But God is, he's indescribably amazing. And he is mysterious and powerful and beautiful, and he suffered for us, and he made us his passion. And he says, if you delight in me, I'll also give you the desires of your heart. It would be enough to just delight in him. It would be enough to just know him and get to know him more throughout eternity. But on top of that, he throws in, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that amazing? So what is on your heart? Because the thing that is on your heart, the thing that you think about, dream about, talk to people about, can't fall asleep at night because you're thinking about, he wants to give you those desires of your heart. And this morning when we get to the end here, which we will, we're going to take a moment and just breathe on those passions and the desires of your heart, because sometimes we just need that extra breath on the coals to get it burning. And I think that's what this morning is about. Discover what makes your heart beat faster and find your passions by delighting in the Lord, by eating in the Lord. Whatever your passion is, place Christ in the center of it. Because I guarantee you that no matter what your passion is, he can fit in it. And he fits in right in the middle. Ultimately, I heard a quote from, how many of you have been watching the Olympics? Christy and I love the Olympics, maybe a little too much. We watch it almost religiously. And watched Michael Phelps. He just won his fourth gold medal of this Olympics, but his 24th of all time, I think, which is by far the most of any Olympian ever. And this is the quote that he said when he was interviewed after. He said, "When I was a child, I dreamed that I would do something in the Olympics that no one has ever done. When I was a child, I dreamed I would do something no one has ever done in the Olympics." Well, he got his dream. Now, some people might say, well, I dreamed that. I dreamed I would do something. But did you actually go and suffer for it? Did you actually fight for it every day? Did you actually try to be a perfect Olympian like he did? If you set your passion and your dream on something, you will get that. And I think that these scriptures show us that, whether it's the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the world, if you set your life on that goal, that's what you'll get. And the thing that is amazing to me, actually, Michael Phelps hit rock bottom, and he just about lost everything. He had a couple of DUIs a few years back. He was self-admittedly at the end kind of his own life, and someone gave him The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren and said, read this. And that was the beginning of his comeback, and he kind of realized, man, like, I need purpose in my life. And it was amazing that without that purpose, he still had won 21 gold medals, you know. But when he had that, it took him, again, to a place that was accomplishing the dream, because it was this Olympics where he surpassed what any Olympian had ever done in the number of gold medals. And that's just one example. But I think that it's an amazing picture of when you set your life on a vision or a dream, that God will give you that. And, you know, another, like, looking at both examples, the blessed examples and the other side, you know, think of the Pharaoh when he wanted to chase down the Israelites. It says that God had hardened his heart, but he had hardened his own heart, you know. And God gave him over to that desire in his heart, which was, I hate the Israelites, right? God will give you over to the kingdom of the world or to the kingdom of God. So what is on your heart? What is the desire of your heart? I get a lot more excited about the delighting in the Lord and the desires of the heart, as opposed to the Romans. And they got what they deserve, Paul says, the due penalty for what was in them. So thank God for grace that we get what we don't deserve. Amen. That Jesus suffered so that we can live in freedom. The last thing I want to share with you before we just invite some of the worship team up is this other piece, which, when I was thinking about that, delight yourself in the Lord, and it was Eden, right? The place in Eden where Adam was with God, and then Adam and Eve were with him together. And it says in the genealogy, how many know the genealogy in Matthew? I believe it's Matthew. There's two long genealogies in Scripture. And it says, you know, this is where Jesus' lineage came through Joseph and all the way down, and there's some amazing stuff in there just about who God chose, the women that are mentioned in there, and the grace of God is just totally apparent in that genealogy, and I could do a whole few sermons on that, but I won't today. And then it goes through and it says, you know, this is where each of the people came through, and if I could find it in here, I could actually read it. But the point is, at the end it says, and it goes all the way back from Jesus, all the way back to Adam, and it's like, well, who is the father of each of these people, right? Who is the father of Adam? And it goes all the way through, and it says, and Adam, the son of God. And that just really hit me. It was like, of course I know that Adam was created by God, but in the genealogy, it says, like, Adam is the son of God. And that's the whole talk about the two Adams, and then Jesus is the son of God, right? But the point that I'm trying to make is that when we eat in ourselves and delight in the Lord, we become his sons and daughters. And it's not just like a nice, warm and fuzzy thing to say that you're the son or daughter of God. It's a life-altering thing to say that I am a son or a daughter of God. That you are literally his son or daughter if you just believe in him. For me, that's like, thank you, Jesus moment, right? Is I can be your son. Like, not just kind of related through like a third cousin, but I can be the son of God. Like, Jesus is the son of God, but we are sons and daughters of his kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And I just want you to know that today, as you look inside for a moment, and maybe if someone can quietly play on the keys or on the guitar, I don't know if that's possible this morning. But basically, I just want you to reflect with me now, is on the foundation of belief in Jesus makes you and qualifies you to be a son or a daughter of God. And again, that is a life-altering truth, that you can be walking with him, you can be in the garden with him in your life, you can make time at any moment of any day, he will intersect your life, he will meet with you, he'll speak to you, he'll minister to you. And whether you feel like you're at rock bottom or the top of the mountain, he's there. You know, David said, whether I go to the highest heaven, he's there. Whether I go to the pit of hell, he's there. His presence is accessible to you at all times and all points of your life. And so I just want you to, on the foundation of belief in the Son of God, that you are a son or daughter, from there, I want to move forward and just ask you again, what is on your heart? Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And a lot of you have already seen that in your life. You've seen that he's opened doors for you. You've seen that dreams that you've had have come to pass. Maybe you felt like that was a season that's happened and that's just the end and now it's different. But whatever season you're in, he says, delight yourself in me. I will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't matter if you're 3 years old or 300 years old. He wants to continue to make his promises alive in you. And so I want to challenge you again with that question. What is on your heart today? Because, you know, in Isaiah, it says, my thoughts are above your thoughts. So when I think about that, and he says, as far as the heavens above the earth, my thoughts are above your thoughts, says the Lord. That if my dreams seem huge, like I want to be the greatest Olympian, or whatever that dream looks like, for me, it's I want millions of people to be impacted in their spirit by the films that I make. That they would come to a decision for Christ through those films. That they would challenge the very beliefs they have through those films. Millions of people. And that's one of my dreams. But what's your dream, right? And so I just encourage you to dream big, because God's dream is way bigger. You think, oh, I want to do this, and it seems crazy. His thoughts, his dreams are way above even those dreams. And what I've seen in my life is that if I start with a dream, and then God, through his amazing passion for me, makes a way for that dream to be a reality, it opens up another one, right? It's like, okay, now what could we do? What could the next dream be? And then he'll fulfill that one. And then you come and you go, okay, what about the next one? And you continue to grow in these dreams, and they grow and they grow, and you start to think a little bit more like his thoughts. You know, you start to think and dream big. And so if you dream small, you'll get those dreams. I believe that that's what the scripture tells us. If we spend our hearts getting closer in that garden with Jesus, delighting in the Lord, that we'll see those come to pass. If we dream big, we'll see those dreams come to pass. But if we live in our passion, even if we face suffering and if we face opposition, it will be bearable, because we have Christ in the center of that passion. And you have to put Christ in the center of it, which is exactly how he fits in it, perfectly in the middle. So I'm going to invite my wife to join me. And if there's a ministry team up here, we just want to create space and a time. And the call this morning is, what can we breathe? What passion in your life can we breathe on? What dream or desire of your heart do you either want just some prophecy or some encouragement or some prayer on? Or is it that you need God to show you what the passion of your heart is? Because for me, if I can't really dream effectively until I know what my passion is. And so you might just want to have a refreshing from God. Like, hey, God, can you just speak to me? What is my passion? And you could do that right now in your chair. But if you want to have some prayer into that, we'd love to pray with you. And then just generally speaking, if you might even totally feel like you're on the route to that dream and you might just want encouragement, like say, can you pray for this? Because this is happening and it's exciting. And we'd be happy to pray for that. So just to clarify that, if you wanted someone to breathe on your passion this morning, if you wanted clarity from God about what your passion really is, or if you just feel like generally in your dreams and passions you wanted some encouragement, we just invite you. And we could stay here all day if that's what it takes. But really, it's important that when we do these things too, we don't say like, oh, someone in the back row is going to think that I don't have a dream. Or, you know what I mean? Like, this is not a place of judgment. This is a place of how exciting is it that we can breathe on our passions and that we can encourage one another and be the body of Christ. And so that is what we are today. We're just the sons and daughters together here. And we want to encourage one another in our passions and dreams. And we need that just as much as anyone here might need that. So just to invite you this morning, and we'd love to share a little bit with you guys and have coffee and chat or whatever, but we'd love to have this time of ministry and not miss this moment, because I think that was what God was speaking about this message, was let them know that they're the passion of my heart, that they are the passion of the heart of the creator of the universe, so that they know that I care about their dreams and passions, and I want to give them the desires of their heart. So just invite you, if that speaks to you in any way, to come. And thank you very much for playing, and we'll just keep that going for a while, and invite you to stay around for a bit and just soak in that. If you want to sit in your chair and just think about that and pray about that, just centering Christ in the middle of your passion and thanking him for all he's done for you.